I have suffered enough. Please don't do this. No.
Low quality fans of a high quality Bruins team that is a dub. What a huge, important, incredible, beautiful, fantastic win. We are six beers deep. We've got a seventh well on the way. Whoops. Let's. Hold on. Is this window open? No. Where was this? All right, the tape's not holding. Yeah, that's right, it's tape. This is not a fancy studio. I'm doing my best over here. As you can tell, few beers deep. I have to offer an apology to start this video. A deep, sincere apology from the cockles of my heart. I live streamed during this game. And the reason I'm apologizing is because my notes are shit. Some of you truly do rely on me for an authentic and realistic recap of the game. Because you are either unable to watch or you didn't want to. The stress was too much. I respect that. My notes are shit. I just can't. With live streaming and taking the notes and watching the actual game, I can't do all three at once. And I apologize for that. I truly do. But the good news is we raised over $200 tonight off of the generosity of the fans of the Bruins. And that's awesome. We raised over $200 for a charity focused on fighting cancer for kids. And fuck cancer, obviously. Obviously. And it was awesome. And I'm really proud of the community because we've already raised over $1,000 for this objective. And we will continue to do so through the months of the playoffs. So if you thought about donating or thought about subscribing to one of the Hockey Inspector tier levels, which is $5, $10, $15 a month, whatever you want to do there. It's right now it's going all towards charity. So even if you just want to do it for that time period, then cancel after, do your thing. Any generosity is very welcomed for that. Or, of course, if you want to donate directly, I have the link below. Feel free to do that as well. Frankly, I don't care how you do it, as long as it's done, you know? And of course, if you're not in a place to be able to give anything, think about if you have any extra time and maybe you're able to volunteer for something. Or this is just a nice reminder that the world runs in a pattern where it only runs well when people are trying to do good and sacrificing their time or their money or such to do that kind of stuff. So I am super appreciative of those who have donated so far, and I'm really, really proud of you guys because we've already raised over $1,000, and that's huge. That is awesome. I realize I've turned this into something very serious right away. This is a huge dub, and it's very exciting. And I wanted to apologize for my recap's just not going to be what I would think it should be typically, but I'm elated. I'm a little drunk. But I'm elated. Haven't thought of the skit yet, so we'll figure that out in a little while. It's already 11:30 on a weeknight, on a work night. But cheers to you. Cheers to the Bruins. Cheers to Swayman and David Pastrnak and Hampus with the great feed, who's been getting a lot of flack, well-deserved. But we take those. An overtime dub on the stream. Oh, so good. By the way, streaming Friday again, because how am I supposed to not after we just won that, you know? Just a sip. So, let's talk, because there's things I want to bitch and moan about. Classic low qual. Let's start with the lineup. We blendered the absolute bejesus out of it. And I do want to make a very important point after I tell you the lineup. So it's Huzdinov, it's Zaka, it's Pasta on the top line. It's Mittelstadt, Minton, Geeky for the second. It's Steves, Elias, Asamoah for the third. It's Janot, Corrali, Kastelic for the fourth, who was your best line once again, despite a lack of scoring. Aspero, McAvoy, Lindholm, Jokiharju, Zadorov, Peak, and Swayman in net. A point I want to make. The second line obviously was split up, right? With middle stat not working with Sokka. But the lack of Arvidsson was very noticeable. And no one at any point has pretended that Arvidsson was not the straw that stirred the second line's drink. He's been a line driver for that line all season, which is something I didn't expect to start the year. I loved the trade to get him. I thought he was going to be a great addition to the third line. Could never have guessed he would be what he has been this year. But I want to point out that missing Arvidsson truly affected this team. It really did. He's hurt. I've heard mixed responses about what he's actually hurt with, but it's a shoulder injury, it appears to be. I am fairly devastated by this, not just because of the lack of Arvidsson on our team for the playoffs, right? When Arvidsson was hurt, my initial thought wasn't, oh God, the Bruins. It was actually, this guy's in his early 30s, and he had put together a year that really helped him extend his career. And now that's in jeopardy. It has such a bummer. So I hope that his recovery goes really well. I don't know what his next contract looks like. I don't know if he's going to be back for this playoff run. I don't know. But heart goes out to RV. I really wish the best for the guy. He's been nothing but a joy to watch this season. What a bummer not to have him in the lineup tonight. That was really impactful. Couple guys that are noticeably missing. So Lauri sits again. I don't think that's a bad decision. Now, clearly, they don't love Joki Haru, having tried Harris first and whatnot, but maybe they thought Harris could handle the physicality more. Harris did deserve to fall out of the lineup after the last game's performance. He was bad enough for that to be legitimate, despite it just being like, oh, he's getting his feet wet again after not playing for, like, we can't risk whatever the hell that was again. So Joki Haru comes in, and Joki Haru was fine, and he played the system well, which I think was the most important part. Hagens. So, this is a hindsight take, I get that, but why do you sign him? Why do you sign him? I don't care about the ELC year getting burnt, because I am one of those people who has started to lean more into, there's actually an advantage to having a two-year ELC rather than a three-year, because you get them on that first contract earlier, and you actually might get more years of value out of it. It's a whole different conversation, but you bring the guy up when he's not lighting it up in Providence, and I, while obviously off on my trip, was like, well, that's a weird decision to bring him up anyway, but yeah, get him some games, and we like that. This is exciting, whatever, and he looks fine. He looks good in a lot of moments, and obviously game 4 was really bad for him. Or, sorry, game 3 was really bad for him, but that was bad for his whole line. And then you take him out for game 4, and then you have 2 spots open up in game 5. And you go with Steves and Asamoah. Those guys were giving you nothing. This is surprising to me. And we're going to have a lot of time after the Bruins win the cup to talk about decisions made and all that kind of stuff, obviously. But I feel like I have a lot of takes on how this is being handled. And I don't love it. I don't think it's good for Hagens. I don't think it's good for the team. I would have preferred to see him slot back in over Steves or Asamoah, because you still get to put one of those guys in the lineup, and Hagens hasn't been a physical liability. He appeared to have the yips a little bit, but are you telling me you've watched this team for the past 3 games, watching, even in this game, the puck spit over everyone's stick over and over again, and you're going to sit there and be like, well, Hagens hasn't been able to keep the puck in his stick. Who has? I don't know. So I was surprised by him not being reinserted in the lineup. I still disagree despite the result of the game. And I think game 6, he should be in the lineup. That's all I've got for that. Let's go through the game. Again, I apologize for, frankly, it's a half-assed attempt. Let's be honest with ourselves here. It's just not good enough. But we're going to do what we got. And that's puck drops. Puck drops! 2:11 in. Kaslik for roughing. We're going to the penalty kill. It's a weak-ass call. And after this game, as I watch a absolute eruption from the Sabres fans about the refereeing, look, I know I am biased. We all are. I'm a Bruins fan. I'm going to automatically have these gold-colored glasses on, just like a Buffalo fan will have blue-colored glasses on. To say the referees had a distinct bias in this game is crazy to me. I thought Buffalo got the better side of the officiating. And all series long, I've watched the home crowd for Buffalo erupt after every single hit by the Bruins. Every series for them is going to be so painful. They're going to blame the refs in every single game if this is the attitude they have. This is getting a little absurd at this point. The refereeing, although not great in this game, was certainly not a deciding factor in the result. The Bruins went 0 for 3 on their power plays. The Sabres went 1 for 3. It's their first goal on the power play in 34 attempts. It ain't the refs, is what I'm trying to get at. Anyway, this is a weak call, but I think the refs were immediately trying to be like, we are not dealing with the scrum bullshit in this game. And it did set a precedent. This was a far less physical game than usual. I think this was a moment where they went, oh, shit. Okay, everyone's like, they're taking one out of the pile, and it's anyone who makes contact. Because Kaslyk gets a roughing call here for virtually nothing. He puts his hands into the chest of a player after a whistle, which is, I mean, we've all watched hockey, extremely normal, and they took him for roughing. So they were trying to make a point. It sucks that the point bit the Bruins in the ass. About a buck 30 later, the Sabres are breaking out of their own zone after a clearance. Tage takes the offensive zone through the middle of the ice. I don't have pictures for any of this stuff. When I say I'm way behind on all of it, I mean it. Tage takes the blue line over the center of it. He dishes to Zucker on the blocker side. He is trying to feed Tage back in the slot as they get a little closer. He gets towards the bottom of the blocker side circle. Peak blocks the first pass. It goes right back to Zucker, who then hammers a pass back diagonal to Dahlin, who's in the glove side circle. Swayman has no chance on this. It's 1-0 power play goal for the Sabres. I understand the tension you felt, but it was a weird, relaxing moment for me. I can't describe this because I was disappointed, but internally I'm sitting there going, you know what? This game is going to be what it's going to be. And that's a tough way to start the game. But how do the Bruins respond? Because at this point, we are asking ourselves, not for luck. We're not asking for luck. We're not asking for any favors. We're not asking for... We want to see a team that belongs in the playoffs. We want to see a team that can show that they deserve to be here. You allowed a goal in the first 4 minutes of a game, an elimination game. Show me that I should have any eggs in the basket of this Bruins team is good enough to move on. Like, do you never, I wonder for you, if you could put in the comments, do you ever sit there in a series at a certain point and go, well, okay, if you suck, you suck, right? If you're not good enough to be here, get eliminated, you know? I'm not asking for a miracle. I don't want to see you squeak through a first round matchup just to get decimated in the second. I want to know you belong here. Show me you belong here. And this was this moment for me. So I sat there and went, I mean, obviously, shit, man. But show me you belong in the playoffs. Because they haven't shown jack shit in a couple of games. Like, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to make a point of, there are times when teams tell you what they are. And you have to believe them. And I've been teetering on this, like, if you guys don't belong here, you don't belong here. I'm not going to get emotionally invested if you clearly are being outclassed. Let's talk about next season. Let's get excited about next year. Because I'm always going to have excitement about the following year. Even if I'm negative. Even if I'm sitting there like, the Bruins are likely to get trounced this year. If we're truly in a rebuild stage or whatever, I'm going to have that conversation. But I'm going to be excited about watching my favorite team play some damn hockey. When you're in the playoffs, there has to be a moment where It's nut up or shut up, man. If you don't deserve to be here, I will watch you get eliminated, and I will be at peace with that, especially in the first round, because you didn't deserve to be any further than this as a seventh seed. I obviously didn't love getting scored on, but it was a really easy transition for me to sit there and go, show me you belong, push back, fight back. Fight back in a hockey sense. That's where I was. I'm curious what your take on that is. 5 minutes in, a transition for the Bruins results in a great chance for Mittelstadt in the high slot. When I say great chance, it was a good chance to shoot, which is what I'm looking for at this point. He can't handle the puck. It's a basic pass. It rolls over a stick. And then 10 seconds later, Minton, with an actually great chance, tight in, slot, great pass, rolls over a stick. I know I'm not the only one sitting here going, we're cursed. We are cursed. The team can't handle the puck. Every opportunity to score, it just flubs off their stick. Insanity. Weird stuff. 6:53 in, Oslin for tripping. We're going to the power play. No. 4 minutes left of the period. A Jeannot chance in tight line gets just a piece to knock it wide. At least there I can be like, you had to make a save. 30 seconds left of the period. A great shift for the top line, but they can't beat Lyon. A cleared puck bounces over Peek's stick and results in a Zucker fast break with Peek on his back. Save made by Swayman. He gets run over. Everyone gasps. Is this it? If Swayman goes out, this is it. He's fine. Everyone's fine. Play continues. We're good. Second period starts. 5:25 in. Hampus for tripping. We're going to penalty kill. Killed it. Huge kill. 8:30 in. Feed to Pasta from below the goal line. But Pasta can't handle the puck. It's right in front of Lyon. Can't do it. It's followed up by Zacha getting in tight on Lyon. He misses wide. No shots taken this period for the Bruins. We're 8:30 in. 9:24 in. Mittelstadt keeps a play alive after a block shot. The puck gets worked behind the net to Elias on the glove side circle. He kind of skates up past the post. He attempts to put it at the net front. It gets saved. And the ensuing battle pushes the puck farther up in the slot. Elias repositioned himself to get higher in that slot, collects, and through the maze of bodies is able to beat Lyon glove side. It's 1-1. Now look, I love to be critical of Elias Lindholm. Love it. I get off on that. Hell of a goal. Hell of an important goal. And saves the season. Literally saves the season, as it is the only goal scored in regulation for the Boston Bruins. Elias Lindholm just saved the Bruins season. Somebody asked me in the chat, does that justify his contract? No! Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, 8 minutes left. Kastelic taking more damage. He does go down the tunnel. He would return. On a penalty kill, he would return. That guy's a warrior. 6:25 left. Samuelson for tripping. We're going to the power play. Midway through the power play, a backdoor feed for Geeky. He has a wide open net. Yeah, he's got a defender on his back. This pressure. Wide open net. Now I wonder, when I say that, do you immediately go, oh, he missed it? Or Lyon made a great save, dove across and stopped it? I hate that you're right. I hate that you guessed the right option. He went high, shot it over the crossbar. Puck was bouncing, sure. Team's fucking cursed. It was brutal. I don't know if I've seen the Bruins have a stretch of games like this where the puck luck was quite so bad. Not when the season mattered, right? Like, not in the playoffs. This is something else. This is crazy. 4:23 left. Huzadinov for high sticking. Yes, I understand it's a weak call, but his stick did hit him in the face. I argued with a bunch of people about this. It's still high sticking. It's weak. It's still high sticking. Did the guy double over in pain for 30 seconds longer than he had to for a total of 31 seconds? Yeah, but still high sticking. So we go to the penalty kill. We do kill it. And Castle goes back for that medal to kill. He comes right back and he's like, I guess I'll start blocking shots. Guy's a warrior. The fact that we have our fourth line settled next year, even if Corrali really does fall off a cliff, because I don't care who's centering that line, Kastlik is the absolute driver of that line, and Janot's been awesome. Having two-thirds of a fourth line means you can fill in that last spot. I am so excited about what they do next year, but I don't have to worry about that yet, do I? Third period starts. I'm sorry, this is where it really fell off a cliff for me, note-wise. 4:59 in, Aspero, high stick by Tuck, we're going to the power play. We'll just move on. 10 seconds left. McAvoy. Okay, I had to read it, and now I realize what I was saying. This pissed me off beyond belief. There's 10 seconds left of the clock. About 11 seconds, I think, when he collects his puck. McAvoy is behind his own net. 11 seconds left of the period. Of the game. Not the game, obviously. Tied 1-1. You know what you can do in 3 seconds? You can get up ice. You literally can. Two good passes. You're up ice in 3 seconds. He held until about 3 seconds left and then passed it. And then, you know, that was the end of regulation. You played for overtime with 10 seconds left. The lack of desperation for this team is bewildering to me. You didn't have to make some crazy play that put you in danger. Get the puck up ice. You have 10 seconds. Get the puck up ice and get a shot on net. A shot. I don't care where it's coming from. Get a puck to the net. Just to see. That was egregious. Why would you just sit there on it? Well, I'm just going to wait for overtime. You have 10 seconds. Get up ice. That pissed me off beyond belief. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Overtime starts. 3 minutes in. I get criticized for this, and I deserved it. 3 minutes in, the Bruins score as Corrali punches in a puck under Lyon's pad. But the refs say there was intent to blow the whistle, so it doesn't count. And people in the chat were like, look it up. Look up the rule. I get it. I understand that there's a deadhead rule. I understand that there's that should have been blown dead, but it wasn't. I get it. The whistle didn't go. The ref didn't reach for his whistle. And the puck goes in the net. And then he walks over and waves it off and says, I intended to blow the whistle. And the point of it was under his pad, we have seen whistles go far later as pucks have been hinted under pads, under bodies, and just waiting to see what happened. That was an egregious misplay by the referee. It was awful. Now, here's the thing. He clearly poked the pad to get the puck to go in. That was going to get waved off anyway. Like, that goal wouldn't have counted. I think in the moment, obviously, I was upset. And had to digest it all. But to say the ref played that in any way of a correct fashion, incorrect. That was egregiously stupid. Call it a goal on the ice, go back, look at it, and go, ah, no, he poked the pad in. Let them challenge it. You flinched. The ref flinched as the puck went to the net. You never even reached for the whistle. I to sit there and be like, well, you know, I had the intent. Review the play, and then go from there. The reason this is not a big deal is because it absolutely shouldn't have counted. They jabbed a pad to, like, get it in the net. It never counts. So, like, I'm not going to lose my mind out of it. But I was surprised by how many people were defending the ref because of the letter of the law when that was just a ref mishandling a play egregiously. About 9-ish minutes in, I don't even have notes about the overtime goal. Hampus collects a puck in our defensive zone and finds Pasta. Great long distance pass as he's crossing the blue line for the breakaway. He dekes Lyon out of his freaking shoes and puts it in. And once again, for the second time in 3 years, Pasternak comes up with a huge overtime playoff goal and extends our season. And Pasternak asked after the game, patience for game 6. We will shoot the puck, be loud, support us. I think that speaks volumes. I think the Bruins in the playoffs don't feel well supported at home. I hope whoever goes to game six just chant "Let's go Bruins" the whole fucking game. It doesn't. One thing that bothers me about home ice advantage, when a team is down two goals, and it's the home team, say it's the first period, 5 minutes left the first period, they allowed a second goal. This, when I was a kid, this is the way it was. Something changed. And maybe this is me being an old head. I don't know. Your team goes down 2-0. Home ice. You're watching them. And the building goes silent. And I get a moment of silence. It's fine. The chant's supposed to start. You're supposed to be there to support the team. The team isn't there to dictate your mood. You're supposed to build for your team. That's part of the advantage of home ice. If your team goes down 2-0, 3-0, the chants for "Let's go Bruins" need to erupt and be loud and be impactful. Give the guys the energy they cannot create on their own. That's how you help the team. Going silent, judging, how does that help anybody? I agree with Pasta's comments. I think there's a little bit of a jab in there to Bruins fans. Build something for them. And yes, they should come out with energy. Yes, they're responsible for their play. Why not do the "Let's go Bruins" build for them? I don't know. I'm surprised by how often there is a silencing of the crowd that is not quickly met by the crowd saying, "Fuck you, this is our house. We're going to support our boys." The boos rain too early. Cheer for your team. Build them back up. Try to get them. And look, if you're chanting for them and they allow another one and another one and you start to go like, "All right, now we're out," fine. At least you tried. I don't know. So I do think there was just a little jab because he said, "Be patient. We will shoot." Like, help them. Game notes. I mean, what a great game, right? What a fantastic, beautiful, wonderful, awesome game. I'm terrified of game six, obviously. But what this game does do, it puts pressure on them. It's a little seed of doubt. A little seed of doubt. They now have to go to an away barn, and they have to win this game. And if they don't win this game six, they have to go back in front of their home crowd for a game seven in a series where they had a 2-game lead. You know how that feels. I know you know how that feels. I was there. The pressure, the tension. Obviously, the Bruins, it's win or go home. But if you want to lean into some sort of positivity, you have built some doubt. And it's going to get heavier. Pretty excited about this. So, go Bees! Again, I apologize for the lackluster level of this video, that there wasn't more details. To be honest, I had a great time streaming, though. I had a lot of fun. Please hang out with us. Next game, have us on in the background, however you want to do it, phone or laptop or whatever, because it's good conversations, and we talk about all sorts, right? I'm not doing play-by-play for the game, like, we're talking about the game, but then we jump into other stuff too. It's a good time. It's a really good time. So check it out. Put Hagens back in for game six, and go Bees. Go Bees! Hey guys, thank you so much for watching this video and joining me as we experience this crazy Bruins season together. The names popping up on your screen now are from the top line tier and the all-star tier of the YouTube membership program for this YouTube channel. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you who helps support the channel so that we can do more fun things. And I am always open to more ideas of how I can help give back to those who support the channel. At the end of the day, this channel is always going to be about the community, and I want to continue to grow that way. So please always feel free to reach out with new ideas and fun ways we can expand on this. Or if you just need someone to talk to, I'm always here for you guys. Thank you all for your support. And as always, go Bees!